Welcome to This Week on DeveloperWorks. I'm your host, Calvin Powers. This week on DeveloperWorks, we look at the nuts and bolts of big data, how to visualize it, and its implications for cloud systems. But first, let's look at what else is new on DeveloperWorks this week.
Vineet Gupta has published an article on DeveloperWorks called Integrate IBM WebSphere Cast Iron Web API Services with Facebook. This article will show you how you can easily and rapidly create, socialize, and manage compelling web APIs for Facebook. In this article, learn how to define an API, customize developer pages for it, register an application, and test your API. The article will show you step-by-step instructions to create a simple proxy which will call the Facebook Graph API, convert the feed from Facebook into a JavaScript object notation response, and show Twitter and Facebook feeds on developer pages. IBM has released an evaluation version of its IBM DB2 Merge backup product for Linux, Unix, and Windows. As application databases increase in size and number, so does the amount of time required to complete backup procedures. But the IBM DB2 Merge backup for Linux, Unix, and Windows lets database administrators perform backups without taking databases offline or disrupting applications. Database backups are completely transparent to the end users. Visit the DeveloperWorks evaluation software area to download an evaluation copy of this product. IBM has released an evaluation version of its latest IBM Rational Software Architect product. Rational Software Architect is a comprehensive application design, modeling, and development tool for the end-to-end software delivery. The latest version provides comprehensive support for emerging technologies such as Business Process Modeling Notation version 2, Service-Oriented Architecture, and Java Enterprise Edition version 5. Stop by the evaluation software area of DeveloperWorks to download an evaluation copy of this product.
My guest this week on DeveloperWorks is Sam Sievert. He is an assistant professor at the University of Alaska Anchorage, and he's just published a new article on DeveloperWorks about some of the issues and tools around big data. Sam, welcome to This Week on DeveloperWorks. How would you define big data, and how is it different from our traditional understanding of data sources?
Well, thank you. I think the standard definition involves what are called the three V's, volume, variety, and velocity. I would add some additional description to that myself, but that's the observation that data volume has increased, the sources of data have increased in variety to include unstructured as well as structured database data, as we tend to think of in the past, and the amount of data, the capacity that we're dealing with is much increased. To that, I would add the durability of data, since we're keeping data over very long periods of time. That would just be my additional observation. And then also the use of machine-to-machine interfaces. It seems to be a trend in big data as well. In the paper, I noted that there's so much data generated today based on an IBM study and estimate that no human can consume the amount of new data generated each day.
I think a lot of people only think about big data in the context of web searches and Facebook, but there's many other important commercial applications for big data as well, aren't there?
Absolutely, yeah. So I provided an outline in the paper, but subsequently I did some thinking and thought of new applications as well in addition to what's in the paper. So I tried to come up with what to me are some of the top applications, and one that I think has received a lot of attention and had some very compelling early success is healthcare. Data needs to be private when healthcare data is analyzed as big data, obviously, but that can be done, and there certainly are huge benefits in areas of pathology and disease control that are being explored. Similarly, in the paper, I noted a mental health care use that's at the Children's Hospital in Cincinnati, where they're assessing suicide risk based on patient interviews, so mental health as well as traditional health care. sensor networks is something that is important here in Alaska. We live in a very large state with low population, so simply keeping up with changes in the environment and the infrastructure in this state is difficult. And that's the case in much of the United States and the world, in fact. And so sensor networks for environment and infrastructure monitoring. Intelligent transportation is another one that I would note that's of high interest. Recommendation systems and sentiment analysis, I think, are something that a lot of people are familiar with. I find it particularly useful. I certainly enjoy not spending my time looking for what kind of content I might enjoy and having things recommended to me, and when it's accurate, it's quite useful. So those are kind of, you know, maybe my top four that I've noticed, but I'm sure there'll be more and more as time goes on.
In your article, you introduced the concept of visual analytics. Can you tell us what that is and how big data is driving it?
Sure. Yeah, visual analytics is interesting. My first exposure to this as a concept came early in my career. I worked in the Mission Control Center at Johnson Space Center, and we had what at the time seemed like a lot of data coming at us every second, 10,000 telemetry points a second. So we created what in big data is referred to as the dashboard, essentially what should a controller see, and we kind of recreated what the avionics looked like inside the space shuttle. So the dashboard is one aspect, but it goes far beyond that. I guess one way I would think of it, given my background, is are you talking about real-time, interactive, or non-real-time kind of analytics? So a lot of what big data visualization includes is not only the real-time or interactive exploration of data, but analysis, and typically that involves graph analytics and the visualization of highly dimensional data. Mm. And so that's why I picked on the Lorenz equations in the as a simple example. So in other words, they're far better viewed with nice 3D kind of tools like the R visualization language compared to, say, traditional spreadsheet analysis and that kind of thing. The ability to overlay data onto maps, so geographical maps and things like that, to really get a high-dimensional view and various isomorphisms of the same data. So four or five different ways to look at the same data, I think, as well.
What are some of the implications of big data and these new tool sets on cloud architectures?
Sure. So one of the interests I particularly have is a lot of my focus has been on embedded systems which are put into devices or in the field. But no matter how sophisticated they become, they have only so much processing capability, and they also lack access to data collected from other parts of, say, a sensor network or historical data. So the cloud offers an opportunity to integrate data collected in the field from instrumentation, sensors, video cameras, etc., back to the cloud where you can run big data analytics and perhaps even take those results and provide them back to the field. So you can imagine yourself driving along in your car. Your car is collecting information about where you are, traffic, that kind of thing. That gets backhauled to the cloud. The data analytics engines are running, and they provide you alternate suggested routes for your planned trip and that kind of thing. So I think there's a lot of applications like that where the cloud comes into to play, and I think there are a number of organizations looking at that kind of use of the cloud with big data.
Thanks, Sam. I also want to note that your article has a great resources section at the end that has a lot of tools that can help people get started with big data. That's all the time we have for this episode. Don't forget that you can get links to everything you've heard about in this episode at ibm.com/developerworks/thisweek. We'll see you next week on Developer Works.